Welcome to It Is Written Canada. Thank you for joining us. In our program today, you will witness how God is more than a story in a dusty book.
Yes, God is much more than a religious building, a doctrine that seeks to explain Him, a painting hoping to capture the features of God, or a well-rehearsed choir whose songs to Him inspire audiences around the globe.
God is alive. And you can trust Him completely. Our special guest, Pastor Don McLafferty, knows from multiple personal experiences how God has never failed him and how God will never fail you.
Whether you are going through puzzling predicaments, dangerous dilemmas, or heart-wrenching hardships, we invite you to listen carefully and prayerfully to Don's personal faith-building adventures. May they open the eyes of your heart to see how God still lives even when you wonder.
Don, welcome to It Is Written Canada.
Thank you. I'm excited to be in Canada again.
And Don, you are a revivalist and a missionary, and you train people to be disciples for Jesus.
Yes.
Can you tell us about your in-discipleship training program?
Yes. Our in-discipleship training program is focused on helping young and old be equipped on how to call children, youth, and adults to revival. And then once people are called back to Jesus Christ through revival, how to train these same people to be disciples and disciple makers. How to live as a disciple of Jesus, like through the day, every day. And then how to disciple, especially the new generations coming up.
So your focus is not just handing it off to the church, but it's actually equipping the family.
Yes.
And in that, you yourself work with your wife, April.
Yes.
How do you work together? Tell us about that.
We've been married 35 years. And all during those 35 years, we walked together, hand in hand. But that's also true of our marriage. And so she is my best friend after Jesus. And she's my confidant. And she is also my prayer partner. And so having her to be able to pray with and to bounce ideas off with and to take major faith steps together, that's just a huge thing to me in my life.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. And you know what, Don? When we work together like that and we're such a powerful team, the devil is angry.
Oh, yes.
And he does not like it at all. So can you tell us about a time that April was attacked?
Yes. Well, about 18 months ago, all of a sudden when I came back from a mission, I think I was in Africa, I came back and I said, "Babe," I said, "what's this on your forehead right here?" And make a long story short, she said, "Well, I just ran into something while you were gone, and it's not healing, but it should be okay." Well, long story short, we found out that she had stage 4 lymphoma, and that's aggressive large B cell. And this was very, very shocking to us because we walk together every day, we have a good diet, we have good exercise. Not that cancer can't come to anybody, it just surprised us because we had no.
And was totally unexpected.
Totally unexpected, mm-hmm. Yes.
And besides, I mean, this is really hard on you and April going through this. How are you doing it?
How are we coping with it?
Yes.
Well, with Jesus, to be honest with you. So the day after we got even part of this diagnosis, we decided to take a day of prayer and fasting and to ask God what we should ask of Him. That might sound funny because some people think that, of course, if you believe in God, then God's going to heal you. But we know that God has 1,000 ways to provide, of which we know nothing. And so we fasted and prayed and said, God, what should we ask of you? And God impressed us in our situation, not saying that it's for all those watching, but for us in our situation, he said, focus rather not on the healing of April. Focus on crying out to me that she'll be full of the peace of Jesus, and that believers and unbelievers will come to Christ through her testimony and our testimony as a couple through this challenge. So it's a different perspective. You following me there?
Yes,
very, very
absolutely.
Different perspective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I've actually watched this last 18 months as my dear wife has been wrapped up with the peace of Jesus, knowing that we don't know about tomorrow. We honestly don't know. Because with that kind of diagnosis, even though that she is in remission right now, that diagnosis is very dangerous. We know it can come back any time. So we don't know tomorrow, but we know who does know tomorrow, and that's Jesus.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So we are resting in him.
Absolutely.
And so you have an unbreakable peace.
Yes. Yes.
The two of you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And God blessed you with 3 beautiful children.
Amen.
Jason, Julie, and Jess. So yes. Jason was first, and then you had
yes.
2 girls.
Yes.
So can you tell us about a time that God convicted both you and April that Jason and Julie had to go with you on a mission trip into a closed country?
Yes.
A dangerous place.
Yes.
So can you walk us through how that happened and how you dealt with it
yes.
and how the children dealt with it too?
Yes. When Jason and Julie were teenagers, God gave me another invitation to go back to a closed country that I'd been to before. When I say closed country to the gospel. It's illegal to disciple for Jesus there, make disciples for Jesus. It's illegal for parents to even disciple their children to Jesus. You get the idea. And when I received this invitation from believers inside that country to come and train them, they're hungry to be trained. And I prayed about it, but as I prayed, I had the overwhelming conviction that I should have Jason and Julie go with me. Well, that's quite a conviction, but then I thought, I need to share this with my prayer partner, my faith partner, my life partner, all 3-in-1. That's April, my beloved wife. And I remember going up to her and I said, well, I said, I'm getting ready to go on this trip. She said, yes, and I'm praying for you. And I said, well, what about if you prayed for not just me? What if you prayed for Jason and Julie and me? Why? Because I believe that I should take our children and let them experience the power of God in this closed country. Have you prayed about this? She asked me. And I said, yes, I have. She said, well, that's good. But she said, I'm the mother. And she said, I need to pray about this. I need to have peace about it. So I said, absolutely, you pray on it. So I prayed, she prayed, apart. And then that's what we do. We pray apart and together until we know we have unity. And that means God can change me, he can change her. He can change both of us. So she came back several days later and she said, this is really stretching my faith. However, I believe that God's calling you to go with Jason and Julie. So you go with my blessings. So can you imagine as a mother, how close would you hug your girls if that was you in the story? So she hugged me fiercely, and she hugged our 2 eldest kids with all her might, and we said goodbye. I remember that as we started over, leaving from the United States to this faraway country, we had a good talk as a daddy and 2 teenagers. And I said, you know, if you are separated from us, from me, I should say, and they question you, rely on the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit will teach you what to say. We had serious conversations. I said, if when we go into the airport and we walk, I said, there's going to be a big line across the cement. When you cross that line, there's no more freedom. And they may separate us. And it may be very, very even emotional to see, they may drag me away if they suspect that I am actually a missionary for Jesus coming in. They may want to question me apart from you. They nodded their heads very gravely, very seriously, and said, okay, Dad. And I said, remember that you're never alone. Jesus is always with you. And the gift of the Holy Spirit means that the Holy Spirit will guide you and teach you what to say. So we had all these conversations, very serious conversations, landed in the airport, and my heart was thumping as a daddy. And I can see there's this big, huge line in the cement. And when you walk across the line, you are leaving your freedom and your religious freedom. So we went right up there, and the person at the desk, you know, in immigration, you know, asked us for our passports. He looked at them and he said, so, you're a daddy of these two teenagers? I said, yes, sir. And then I was praying. And this immigration officer looks us right in the eye and they said, fantastic. Welcome to our country. I'm so glad that you came as a family to visit us. I could have hugged him, but I didn't. But I was so excited. So that's the way we came into the closed country, closed to the gospel. So we went into this country, we got to our secret place where the believers were meeting, and where we were to hold meetings for Jesus, just for them, to train them on how to disciple their children for Jesus. It was breakfast the first morning, and we came down from the little place where we were staying, and Jason and Julie, their eyes were big, like, what's this going to look like? What are we going to have for breakfast? Oh, you'll see. And we walked down there, and they said, no one talks like us. And what is this they're eating? It was all very different for them. And I said, you know what, let's just be praying and the Holy Spirit will show us who to sit with. Now this was all believers in a very protected place. So we walk across the crowded little area and there was an elegantly dressed woman sitting there by herself. And the Holy Spirit impressed me, take your children and go sit with her with your meal. So we sat down and we said, you know, can we eat with you? She said in crisp English, which is rare in that part of the world, she said, oh yes, is this your family? I said, yes. I said, these are our two oldest children. My wife and our youngest is back at home. She said, well, I'd be happy to have you eat with me. So we started eating and I said, oh, what does your husband do? And she looked at me like really like intently. Like, why was I asking that? And she proceeded to say what his position was in the government, and my heart started racing because he had a high, high position in government, and I knew that her husband had the power to turn me into the government because I was there training for Jesus in a country where you're not supposed to do that. You follow me, the situation. Mm-hmm. So I was processing this, and I was thinking, I wonder if she's safe. Here's my two teenage children on the other side of the table. Is she a plant for the government? You know what I mean? Is she a spy? Is she safe? And I prayed, and the Holy Spirit said, trust her. So I just smiled at her and kept talking and sharing. And before I knew it, the Holy Spirit just like this, just impressed my heart to ask her another question. I said, do you think your husband would like to come to this training? As soon as I said that, I just thought, what made me say that? That's a crazy thing. He's the last person that I want to come to this training. But I knew that the Holy Spirit told me to say that. She looked at me again like this, like just startled. You, kind of stuttering with me. You want to ask my husband to come to this training? I swallowed, I said, yes. I put my biggest smile on. Wouldn't it be wonderful if he came? And she said, I think I need to think about that a little bit. And I was thinking internally, I think I need to think about that some more. And I said, let's do this. You pray tonight, and Jason and Julie and I will pray tonight. And then if we both agree in the morning at breakfast, then why don't you ask him? And I was starting to backpedal a little bit. I was getting a little bit nervous that, oh yes, I knew that God had told me, but I was starting to think about what would happen if he came and threw me into jail, threw our children into jail. The next morning, we come with our trays of food and we sit down beside her and she gave me a big smile and she said, guess what? I said, what? He's coming. I said, who's coming? My husband's coming. I said, I thought we were gonna pray about it first. I thought we were going to talk together first. And she said, well, you said you were praying. Well, I prayed too and God convicted me, I should be bold and invite my husband to come to the training. So he's already on the way. I said, that's wonderful. And here's what happened. We started the training, and we are well into it. Here's my teenage children beside me. Here's this elegant woman, you know, that is the wife of a high-up government official. And I'm well into the training, right in the middle of teaching about Jesus and how to be a disciple of Jesus and disciple the new generations, everything that's illegal to talk about. And the door opens. And here comes this smartly dressed man with some kind of insignia on him that means nothing to me, but I will tell you that when the believers in the room saw his dress, like his style and the insignia, they gasped. Like, how did he get in here? How did he know, you know, that we are here? And he walked right across in front of me, you know, between me and the audience, gave me a polite nod, sat down, and I thought, Lord, what do I do? And the Holy Spirit said, keep on sharing about Jesus. So I kept on sharing, but to my consternation, he took out a satchel and writing paper. Then he took out a fine pen, and he looked at me intently and started writing notes on everything I was saying. Oh no, I thought, he's getting evidence to take against me and our children. This is the worst possible scenario. And then after he did that for about 2 hours, then he put it all away, put it into his satchel, stood up right in the middle of my presentation, walked right in front of me between me and the audience, went out the door and politely closed the door. Oh no, I know what he's doing now. He's taking it, well, what do you think?
To the police.
He's gonna take it to the police station and turn me in. So he's gone for quite a while. Hours go by, and it's the end of the day now. And so I gather Jason and Julie. I said, let's go have some supper by ourselves. And the man is standing there waiting for me outside the door. And I thought, oh no, he has a box in his arms. And he says, here, this is a box for you. I brought you something. And I'm thinking, oh no, is there something that's gonna blow up in my face? I mean, it's terrible to think this way, but when you're in such a country, you just don't know. And so I was thinking, I think I'll open it up far away from my kids. And he said, open it, open it. Now this was through a translator, because he couldn't speak my language. And I thought, well, I guess I'd better open it. So I cautiously open it, and it's full of a special kind of fruit that he has in his country. Oh, that's lovely. My mind is instantly thinking, what if that has cyanide or some crazy thing in it? You know, is he going to poison me and the kids? And he says, try it, try it. And I'm thinking, oh, right here in front of the kids? And, you know, that's what I'm thinking. So I try it, and it is tasty. And to make a long story short, the Holy Spirit impressed me to invite him and his wife to come up and enjoy the fruit with us up in the little apartment where we were staying. And so we get up there, and we sit around a table, and I was thinking, now at home I always pray, in a public restaurant I always pray, and I thought, well, he already knows what I'm doing. So I prayed a blessing on the fruit, and I really prayed a blessing on the fruit in case there's something in it. And then we ate it, and we enjoyed it, and it was a wonderful time. And I was thinking, okay, we're almost down to the bottom of the fruit, and the hour's late. It's time to go. I was just thinking, ah, oh, I can sit back here. Everything's going to be fine. I survived this. We didn't die from the fruit. He didn't turn us into the police. Everything's great. And that still small voice of God asked me to ask him a question that I didn't want to ask him. And I said, my friend, I said, you have gone to several hours of this training. You know what I'm doing here. I'm helping people to know about Jesus and how to disciple their children to Jesus. And he looked at me right in the eye, very directly. He said, yes, I'm taking notes. My heart started going like this again. And I said, I am impressed to ask you, what do you think about the training? Oh, it's very, very interesting, he said. Well, they didn't tell me if that's good or bad. And again, the Holy Spirit coached me. And I said, my friend, I said, I'm impressed to ask you the question, what do you think about Jesus? I'm asking you, are you a follower of Jesus? Now, again, I didn't want to ask that question, but the Holy Spirit guides us. Scripture tells us. He teaches us what to say. His poor little wife at his side, just like this, took a gasp and her face turned white. Because this is not something that she would talk about with her own husband behind closed doors. It's just not. And he was very, very careful. And he looked me right in the eye like he's looking right through me, and he said, you're asking me a very difficult question, aren't you? I said, yes, sir. And he said, you understand that to be a follower of Jesus and to be on my level of government is almost unheard of. Yes, sir. He took a big breath, and then he said very quietly, yes, I am a follower of Jesus. And his wife, you would have thought she's going to have a heart attack. She just looked up at him, and just her eyes just so big. And she was trying to decide whether to cry for joy. She had prayed in secret places for him for year after year after year. And he had never said this to her. And she had never dared to ask her own husband that she loved with all her heart this question. And so I was just thinking, wow, here is a believer in Jesus in the highest places in this government. And the Holy Spirit wasn't finished. Ask him to pray. Well, again, that's illegal to do in this country. And stronger, he said, ask him to pray. He said he's a follower of Jesus. Ask him to pray. I said, my good friend, I said, we would like to pray around the circle. Jason and Julie would like to pray for God's blessing on you and your wife. And would you like to pray before I close with prayer? And again, his wife's knuckles were like this white, just scared to death about what this meant. Never had she prayed in front of him, much less ask him to pray at the table for any meal. And very quietly, he prayed a simple, precious prayer from a very highly educated man who had little experience with prayer. He had never prayed with somebody before. He had prayed before in private, but never out loud. This was his first time to declare that he's a follower of Jesus and to pray out loud. And his wife just could barely hold back the tears. And my two children were just in awe. They were awestruck because they got to see the power of Jesus to go in places that's impossible for man to go.
But Don, this is so amazing because I'm just trying to picture what was happening in his wife's heart, mm-hmm. and how she was trying to process all of this.
Yes.
Because she had attended those meetings,
yes.
and obviously he knew mm-hmm. that she was attending, and then she finds out that her husband is a believer like her.
Yes, but a secret believer.
Yes. Yeah. That's beautiful.
Yes.
Wow.
And you know, and I hope this encourages everyone viewing that, you know, when you cry out to God in secret for your husband, for your wife, for your children, for your grandchildren, you see no evidence that God is moving. He is moving, and he does answer prayers, and he is influencing people even behind closed doors and closed hearts.
Absolutely. Don, this is, I guess I have to pause for a moment because it's so different from the way we think here in Canada. We have freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of conscience. And you're talking about a country where if you express your thoughts or your faith or your belief in any way, you can be imprisoned,
yes.
right? So that's extremely dangerous. So even, I mean, before we were talking, before we even came on set, that this is dangerous for you to even, you know, you don't tell where these people are or what this country is
Correct.
Or anything like that because it's dangerous for them.
I don't identify people's names or country names, any of that. And I also respect that country too.
Absolutely. So the people within that country are really living, when they do express their faith in Jesus, it's putting their whole life on the line.
Yes, yes. And especially the bigger issue is not only expressing it, but if you're intentionally teaching someone else how to be a disciple of Jesus, that's extremely dangerous.
We are very privileged. But I wonder if, just a final question, can I ask you to pray?
Yes.
Pray for those people in those countries, of course, and pray for those who are viewing this, that they will have a sense of, you know, their great privileges, but also a sense that God is real. Mm-hmm. That he wants to work in their lives and that they have a story too and they have
yes.
an experience that God wants to work in their lives and that they can see that he is real, he is alive today.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Amen. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you so much for being the living God of heaven and earth. Thank you for hearing our prayers, even when we wonder. Thank you that you're the kind of God that works behind the scenes, like in this story, so that we can be encouraged when we're praying for our husband, when we're praying for our wife, when we're praying for our children, when we're praying for our grandchildren, whoever we may have on our heart right now that may not be walking with you. When we pray, you move, not to force the person, but to love the person and draw the person to you. Please help us to seize the day in sharing you gently and lovingly with our own family, and be with those closed countries that struggle to have the same opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Don, thank you so much for joining us today. And we are not done with you. And I'm so excited about that, because you're going to be back here with us next mm-hmm. week. Can you give us a little bit of a preview to what we have to look forward to next week?
Next week, we want to deal with how to forgive the unforgivable. What do we do with bitterness when someone that we love and trust hurts us in the deepest level? God has an answer.
He does have an answer. And I'm sensing from what you're saying that you've had to wrestle with this personally.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes.
And I know that we see this in ministry as you're a pastor, but you go around the world. And this is a big issue, right, of forgiveness.
Yes.
How do we forgive, as you said, the unforgivable? And some of these are horrific experiences. And so I look forward to you sharing that with us next week.
Happy to do so.
Friends, our gift for you today is Don McLafferty's book, God Still Lives Even When You Wonder.
Don's true stories and testimonies will encourage you to trust God more fully and completely.
We trust that our gift, Don's book, God Still Lives Even When You Wonder, will inspire you to live by faith and not by sight alone.
Before you go, we would also like to thank all of you who have supported the ministry of It Is Written Canada with your prayers and financial contributions. Without your support, this television ministry could not have reached so many people for so many decades.
Yes, thank you. And we would also like to invite you to follow us on Instagram and Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, and also listen to our podcasts. And if you go to our website, you can see our latest programs.
You too can experience the fullness of life that is found in the words of Jesus when he said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."
This is a miracle book. I just wrote it, and it's called God Still Lives Even When You Wonder. I brought you a copy. And it is 16 God stories of his faithfulness to me in all kinds of difficult situations in life. 16 stories talking about forgiving the unforgivable, loving the unlovable, being in difficult situations where I have no idea what to do, and finding out that God still speaks, he still lives, he still guides us to know what to do and when to do it and how to do it. And these are those kinds of stories.